Hey guys, we had a recording issue this past week, so we decided to do a little different setup of things, and so you're going to get the chance to hear from Zach and I having a conversation on holy curiosity, what it means to love God with our mind, what it means to be great in that way. And so, looking forward to the conversation. All right, we're jumping in.
That we are.
Getting after it.
How are you doing, Ethan?
We're doing well. It's Monday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like Monday afternoon, I guess.
It sure does. Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit, but you know what? I'm good nonetheless.
Doing all right nonetheless.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's another beautiful day in America. Here we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. So this past week, we had the chance to kind of have some technical things, but our chance was to talk through loving God with your mind. And so we're in a series of greatness. And I don't know, Zach, is there anything, as we've been going through this series of greatness, that's been kind of been interesting, challenging, or conversations you've had around it?
Absolutely. I mean, man, just where do I start as I forget the entire series that we just talked about? I think one of the things that I love that we talked about on Sunday that I think sort of underpinned the whole thing was that one of the things that, like, when I think about God, okay, I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. So I grew up, and I'll say this, like, the church that I went to was pretty heavy on theology and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they are throwing big words like omnipotent and omniscient, and I'm like 7 years old, and I'm like, are we having Teddy Graham soon? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want. It's easy to think when you've been immersed in the thing for a while, or even not that long, to start thinking that you've got your head wrapped around God and that you actually know him and you've got it figured out. And I think so often we have these two thoughts at the same time and we don't realize they're connected. And the first one is that, man, I feel like I know all there is to know about God. And the other one is, man, God is boring.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So we talked about that. Maybe expand that out a little bit. What was our conversation about that?
We kind of said this, that the greatest commandment is the thing we need to get great at, right? And so it's loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and mm-hmm. mind is what we focused on this past week.
Yeah.
And then strength, which is what we're going to look at this next week. And then loving your neighbor in those ways, I think, like loving your neighbor with your heart, soul, mind, strength. And what does that look like? But I think what we said is a lot of times our mind, we get to a point where we're like, all right, I learned about the things that I need to know about God and got it, like checked it off the box. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they were fascinating or awesome or curious at first. You're like, oh my goodness, maybe you remember growing up and hearing about God for the first time, or maybe you're new to faith and you're like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. Like just eager, growing, hungry to learn. But what can happen is over the course of time, we stop loving God with our mind. And what that looks like is he gets really, really boring is what we said. And the reason he's boring is because we think, oh, there's other things in this world that are more fascinating or interesting or curious to us than he is. And when you think about that, that's just crazy because he's the creator of the universe, the maker of all things. So anything that you've ever been curious about on this planet, he's the one who made it. Wouldn't you love not to just talk about the iPhone and go, oh, this is really cool, but wouldn't you love to meet Steve Jobs and like have the chance to like get to know the mind behind the creation of it all? I think that's on a micro scale, not even close to how God is. It's like, man, we have the chance to get to know, be curious about this God who's incredible.
Yeah, I think too that for a lot of people, they probably wouldn't be that curious about meeting Steve Jobs, unless you're a turbo nerd like me. But like, imagine if you were an iPhone, you'd probably really want to meet Steve Jobs at that point. And I think about that in some sense where I feel like a lot of my day-to-day is trying to figure out who the heck I am and why I do the things that I do. So wouldn't it be interesting to know the one that made me? What might that reveal about me and also about the people around me?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting conversation.
I think one of the things we said on Thursday was actually to love somebody is to be curious about them, right? That when Kimmy and I were dating, I remember our first date, what I did was I just asked her a bunch of questions, and now I pelted her. Like it was
how'd that go for you?
I wouldn't recommend it, but I almost interrogated in some sense. But one of the things that drove that was just this curiosity. What can happen in a marriage, even, is you stop asking each other questions. You kind of get complacent with each other. You kind of get bored. You start letting other things into the home that just kind of fill up your time schedule, whatever, that you stop being curious. And almost what happens is people talk about it and they're like, we just drifted. And you can do the same thing with God. It's not so much you drifting apart as it's I stopped fostering this curiosity in my mind. I stopped going, wow, this person is incredible to me, and I want to just know them on a deeper level. I opened, and maybe we can talk about this for a second, but I opened with just our Matthew 13. Jesus has this really fascinating teaching that just intrigued me. He was talking about why he speaks in parables because some of his followers asked him. And he says at Matthew 13, verse 13, he says, though seeing, they do not see, talking about the crowds, though hearing, they don't hear or understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which he goes on to say this, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And so what we just said is we live in a world that is ever seeing. I mean, there's so much for us to consume and see in just a moment. Like, do you know what the Grand Canyon looks like?
I mean, I've seen a picture of it.
Yeah. But have you ever been?
No, I've never been.
Right. So like we kind of, I've never been to the Grand Canyon, and yet I know what it looks like. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I've seen a picture of somebody else that takes, I'm like, I got it. I get it. So we can see, but we never actually understand anything, right? Like we can hear about stuff. We know all of what's going on in our world, kind of like, but at the same time, we know nothing about what's going on in our world because we don't actually talk to the real people who it's actually involved with, not just... Mm-hmm. So Jesus just kind of says there's this passive complacency in all of us that we just kind of take in. So I just challenged the question of, like, what are you listening? What are you watching? Those were kind of the practical challenges around it. Yeah.
Yeah, and not to jump too far off course, but yeah. You jump to John 15, where Jesus talks about he is the vine, we are the branches. I got to teach about this in middle school. One of the things I was talking to those middle schoolers about is like, man, if what I listen to is what comes into me produces what comes out of me.
Mm.
If I'm taking in things that are full of self-focus, full of rage, full of bitterness, I don't know, things like that, why should I be surprised? Even if I'm not thinking about the word so much, why should I be surprised when suddenly I feel awful all the time? My thoughts always drift back to me. And the way that I feel about other people is bitterness. It's because everything you take in has an effect. I can tell myself that Taco Bell's good for me. Doesn't make it good for me.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, to use that kind of John 15 language, you're like, it's whose voice am I dialed into?
Mm-hmm.
And whose voice am I actually listening? What are the words I'm actually seeing kind of thing? And yeah, we just talked about the importance of that. Like, I use the example of House, that old TV show that I had to stop watching it because I was watching it in high school, and I just remember getting really depressed, and I was like, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the most cynical atheist person, description, and not a real person, but just like his character in the program is like nothing matters, nothing has any point, and yet he's saving lives. But do human beings have intrinsic value? Not really in his mind, and yet it's this weird paradigm that he's like in. And I just remember getting so cynical watching it. Or the example of Crime Junkies that I listened to a bunch of crime podcasts, which seemed to, I asked the room, I'm like, how many of you listen to the crime podcast? And it amazed me how many hands.
A lot of hands.
Yeah. But, which I think they're great. Some of them are so intriguing. But I remember just being like, oh my goodness, living my days in anxiety of just going, you know what? Somebody's around the corner that's probably out to get me, right? Or whatever the case. So you're like, yeah, not everybody is a murderer, to use the extreme. But when you're filling your mind with just that, you're not loving God with your mind.
No.
You just become complacent.
I think a lot of times, too, it's easy to think of that. And, okay, clearly that's wrong. You know, like, okay, it's not good. It has a negative effect on me. So my approach becomes subtractive. What do I need to cut out? You know, okay, this stuff makes me feel bad. I should get rid of this. Or maybe I can take some of it, so I need to limit it. But I think it becomes a different thing when we start thinking additively.
Yeah.
What do I need to actually intentionally incorporate into my daily or weekly rhythms that I'm going to intentionally take in? Mm-hmm. What's something I can add on mm-hmm. that will change the way that I live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're dead on. And probably some of us need to, quite honestly, we do need to subtract things, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, for sure.
I had somebody tell me this past week after kind of talking through some of this that they're like, I just deleted TikTok off my phone. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, the reason I did is because I just realized that I'm filling my mind with stuff that I'm just letting the algorithm decide what I'm listening to and what I'm watching mm-hmm. rather than like trying to intentionally cultivate. And I'm like, oh, wow. It's amazing, man. Like, that's awesome. So I do think there's need for that. But I think you're right in the sense that we often just think, okay, what's the extreme thing? It's like if we're ever doing a diet or whatever to cut food, you're like, okay, what food do I need to cut? What food do I need to cut? Okay, I'm just never going to eat. I'm going to lose weight that way. And you're like, well, no, it's adding. It's not just cutting food. It's adding the right kinds of food into your diet. Things not like Taco Bell, for instance, right? Just to do a little callback there. Nice. But
rules of comedy right there.
I think with that, what that means is, what are the things I'm adding? For me, a lot of times I'll watch a documentary on, I use this example, I love whales, man. I don't know what it is. It's just fascinating to me when you think the largest animal on the planet, one of the rarest at the same time. And I'm like, man, that's amazing. And there's different whales that sleep vertically. And I'm like, well, how do I learn all this? Because you watch a documentary. It's about the world. It's about the creation. I'm like, oh, my goodness, there's a God who's so much bigger. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think – sometimes when we talk about adding things, it's just like read the Bible, which I think is wonderful. You should do that, right? Like, mm-hmm. don't stop reading the Bible. But sometimes it's just wondering or being curious about the things – some of us are so curious about the human body and like the DNA and the way the body works that I'm like, be curious about that. What it'll do is it'll expand your mind for how big our God is. Maybe you're curious about technology and how that and as you be curious about that, just go, oh my goodness, the designer of the universe made this world, and it's so much more complex than mm-hmm. the iPhone or whatever device I can kind of come up with. So I think we have to learn how to develop and cultivate this holy curiosity is what we talked about.
I think I agree. And I think we have to do it in the right spirit too. Because if you do it in a spirit that says, I want to know more things so I can impress people well mm-hmm. or so I can sound well spoken in a conversation or something like that, what we'll do is we'll get a superfluous, I had to work at that, mm-hmm. superfluous understanding of anything that we're studying. And we won't actually... Number one, you won't fully get it because number two, to fully understand something is kind of impossible. Like, yeah. especially when it's something that God created, because God is infinite and we are not.
Yep.
In reality, if you're appropriately coming to something and trying to learn more about it, the outcome is usually just that now you have more questions than you went in with.
Yeah.
You kind of compared it and, kind of fill in the gap for me because I forget a little bit, but like sure. to a shoreline, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that was another reference to a guy who, he said this, Ryan Holiday, not a Christian or anything, so I'd want to be careful, but as our island of knowledge grows, he goes on to say, so does the shore of our ignorance.
Hmm.
What I went to, I think you're exactly right, that Paul, he says, knowledge puffs up. And so a lot of times what people do is they start growing their knowledge. I think of it like an island. If my island in the middle of a water, if my island is my brain for a second, my island starts growing because I start learning stuff. I start growing. What it should do naturally is go, oh my goodness, look at how much more is out there. I didn't realize my shoreline got bigger, but it made me go, wow, I didn't realize how big the ocean is. Versus my shoreline got bigger and it's bigger than your shoreline, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm smarter than you, which is the tendency of what our mind wants to do is when you think of well-educated people, like go through college, get the PhD. The PhD is a big deal. You're supposed to call me doctor now, which it is a big deal. I don't want to make light of it, but there can be such a arrogance with knowledge if we're not careful, rather than a humility to go, wow, God is so much bigger. This world is so much more complex and beautiful than I ever imagined or could ever fully understand or grasp. And so it should be this continual curiosity that just goes, man, I just want to learn and grow more. I want to be a lifelong learner rather than like, oh, now I kind of have enough knowledge to really know something to show up in this world in a way that kind of shows up better than you show up, so to speak.
I think the difference is honestly just in where it's pointed, because there's kind of two directions. You know, if my curiosity is pointed towards myself, if I use curiosity as a means to promote me, it has such a quick limit. Like, I'll be willing to stop so much faster if I turn that curiosity outward from myself.
Yeah.
And I become curious about not just, not just the world around me, but the people that populate it, the people around me in my life. I think that completely transforms. Because that's a never-ending endeavor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think as we grow curious, Jesus said this. He gave the caution in the end of Matthew 13. He said, for this people's hearts become calloused. So why does it matter to know things or to be curious about things is probably a better way to say it. The reason is because curiosity keeps your heart from growing calloused. A mind that isn't really curious but just has a bunch of knowledge or whatever becomes arrogant, and they become calloused or hard-hearted. So what we learn, how we think about what we think about, actually affects our heart, is I think what Jesus is trying to teach there and really get after. And so I think kind of the way we landed, so maybe we should talk about this for just a second. One of the things we kind of landed on was we need to, though we're curious, there can be a humble conviction that comes with things that we aren't calloused about, but we know that we know that we know that we know that this does not change, right? So I can be curious about other religions. I have no problem with that, right? Like I got to visit some of our young adults got to visit. I mean, you were on that trip. Like, we got to visit an Islamic mosque and a Hindu temple over the past couple of years that we've gotten to do, and I can be curious about that, and I want to be curious about that. And yet there has to be this humble conviction, because Paul talks about it to Timothy. He says, guard what you know has been entrusted to you. Don't chase after these ideas. So there's false ideas out there that we can get really curious about sometimes. We have to be aware and wise in what we're, how our tone of our curiosity, so to speak, and convicted about certain things. Does that make sense? Are you with me?
Yeah. I think I'm tracking. Some things, if you question it all the time, there's no room to stand on.
Yes.
Curiosity is a progressive endeavor. I make further and further headway, but in order for me to continue on this process, I have to know that a couple things are true.
Mm-hmm.
I think we live in a time where it's popular to be cynical about everything.
Yeah, question everything. Yeah.
Everything is under question. Mm-hmm. Everything is under doubt all the time. And the problem is we land in a place where nothing can be known at all. And that's just not what Scripture says. I think of Acts 17, kind of where you see Paul talking to a whole bunch of people who are kind of questioning everything. They're in, it's called the Areopagus. It's like this big, like, it's a place where all the smart thinky people go.
Yeah.
And they're all hanging out there, and they're talking about smart thinky people things. And Paul comes in, and he drops this fantastic bar. I'm trying to pull it up here. That's why I'm stalling.
You're good.
From one man, God made all the nations so that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Mm. And this next piece, I think, is so important, because there are so many voices out there that want to tell you that, yes, maybe there's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe there's something beyond, but really we can't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says this, though God is not far from any one of us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing. God makes himself available, mm-hmm. makes himself known, but you're never going to reach out on that until you first have faith that he is there mm-hmm. and he wants to meet you. Mm-hmm. He wants you to learn more about him. Not just wants you to, that's what he made you for. Paul says, this is why God made you. Mm-hmm. Right there in that passage, we were designed to learn about God. Mm-hmm. So it's part of the human experience. That's where we find fulfillment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. The world in which we have, we question everything. And so what can happen is exactly what Jesus said. It just happens a little differently, is I question everything, mm-hmm. and I think I'm being curious, but really I'm being cynical. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said. And what happens is I get a calloused heart towards everything. That nothing can be real. We can't know anything. Knowledge is beyond whatever it is. What we know that we know is nothing's real, rather than what we know that we know is God is real. He is the way, the truth, the life, all those things. We said there's got to be certain things that we know, and we got to guard those things, be guided by who we know and what we know. To be true, so the Spirit of God guides us, the truth of God is what guides us, and then we said this, that we go with who we know. So Jesus, that John 15, what we said, remain in him, be with him. I really think as we're curious about God, we're curious about the world that he made, we're curious about other people, and the beautiful thing is that God goes with us in our curiosity. And All of this, I think we have to get here before we close, all of this is connected to love. Mm. So God wants to make you, the greatest thing that you could ever do with your life is to become a person who loves incredibly well, loves God, and loves other people. Mm. And so Jesus, what he says is the way you want to grow in your love is through your mind. The way that happens is this holy curiosity. Mm. And what that does is it makes you look at the world, and could you imagine if I started looking at people in that way with this curiosity of like, wow, God made Zach Schaefer, and I'm sitting across the table from him having this conversation, and he made Zach in a very unique way, different way than anybody else on the planet, that you're laughing
at a little bit,
right? But I'm like, that's amazing. And the same's true of whoever I'm sitting across the table from, that there's nobody else like you on the planet. And I get the opportunity to learn something from you. You're an expert in something that I'm not an expert in, right? Which is probably Sonic the Hedgehog.
It would be Sonic the Hedgehog. Anything you want to know.
Yeah, there's probably lots of things, but I have something to learn from you. And if we could run into all of our relationships going, I have something to learn from you. You are made in the image of God, and I'm intrigued by that. Not just like it gives us a humility. It doesn't think that we're better than one another.
I think what you said there actually captures the whole thing, because just being made in the image of God, we were built to reflect God. Mm-hmm. God, the main, like, something important to know about that is sometimes we'll shrink God down, mm-hmm. and we'll try to pretend that he's like us. Mm-hmm. That makes him manageable, it makes him knowable, and it kills the curiosity, mm-hmm. not just for God, but for other people. Because here's the truth of it, God is infinite. God has no beginning, he has no end. We are going to spend eternity learning more and more and more about God. But we get to start that endeavor now here on earth, and how it works is like, each person is made in the image of God. People are finite.
Yeah.
They have boundaries. And so I reflect God, and you're different from me, which means you actually reflect a different part of God. And so every single person that I meet is a different opportunity to learn something about God that I've never known or ever seen. And so when Jesus tells us, right, when we need to love the Lord our God with our mind, soul, heart, and strength, when we do that with our mind, and then he immediately says, do the same for the people around you. Do the same for your neighbors. I know we've described it like pedals on a bike before, yeah. where as I learn more about God, it makes me curious about other people because, man, they reflect God in some way.
Yeah.
And as I learn more about other people, that makes me curious about God. It's this, like, you can't do one unless you're doing the other. Yeah. You have to do both.
Yeah.
And that's when you pick up speed. That's what fuels curiosity.
Yeah, I think that's so key. I've not connected it like that before with the bicycle picture of just that's kind of what moves things forward. They're intertwined, they're connected, mm-hmm. and it was so helpful. I think maybe just to kind of close some questions that I kind of closed with, and some of our time on Thursday, maybe if you're listening or catching up on this, we're going to do our very best to try and get the messages out there to you, live time or whatever. But, if not, it's kind of fun to do it this way, that some of the questions we kind of landed with was just this. I think it was the first thing we talked about, but are you bored with God? Mm. Like maybe some of you are listening and you're bored with God, or, be challenged by that. Like, have you lost a curiosity in your heart for knowing him? Like, you think you've got him in a box that you kind of are like, oh, okay, I kind of know God. There's more of him, mm-hmm. To know that, you'll spend, and that's what we said, in eternity, just being blown away at how much there is to know about him, to fall, not just know facts, but to know, like, experientially, to like love him, things that you're like, wow, I didn't know that. And that's what makes you so special and wonderful and amazing and incredible to me, that I just love you more for that. Then we kind of said this, like, I don't know if you remember this one, but this one kind of challenged me, to be honest. Like, maybe I've lost a curiosity about others, that sometimes it's flat out pride or arrogance or whatever. Maybe that's in you, that you just need to go, okay, God, I need to not be arrogant. For sometimes I think it's more subtler than that. I think it's just I get too busy, or I get too focused on the things that I got to get done, that I stop being curious about other people. And I was challenged deeply by this. I think we can stop getting curious about lost people, people who are far from God. And sometimes we can profile them or stereotype or whatever, or we get curious about people that can do something for us, or that can make us smarter in a way, rather than getting curious about all different types of people, all different kinds of people. I think God wants us to be really curious about lost people and how we can best love them and let them know that there's a God who is curious about them, that chased them down, who asked them. Jesus asked more questions than he was asked on earth. Hmm. Like, the creator asked more questions than the creation asked him. And I'm like, man, we have a God who's really curious about us and is chasing after us. So hopefully those are kind of some ending questions to kind of think on.
And I think with one of those, there's just to tab back to the second question, losing curiosity for getting to know others. I think sometimes that can come in a form that we don't expect, where it's easy to feel isolated and alone because just nobody gets me. Nobody understands me. Mm-hmm. I think the sneaky part of that is waiting for someone else to understand me and not realizing the freedom from loneliness that we can find in instead seeking to know other people. I don't know that it's until you seek to know someone else that you'll ever get the opportunity to be known yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you said that. I think that's so true. I think that's the great temptation is, man, I'll be curious as long as they're curious about me, or I'll be curious as long as God's curious about me, and I don't feel like God is. I'm telling you, God's been curious, so you can. Like, God has loved you with everything God has. He gave his life for you. When we realize that, it just inspires us to love even when maybe we don't feel it or aren't. Yeah, I think exactly what you said. So I'm glad you guys got a chance to listen to it this way. This way was kind of a little fun and different. So if you haven't joined us on a Thursday night, man, we'd love to see you. And hopefully we'll see you this next week.
All right. Catch you guys later.